Good morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this very important program that we have in common with a number of committees in Parliament. We extend our special welcome to the Minister of Cooperative Governance and his deputy, the chairperson of finance, of the Auditor General's Committee, of the Joint Appropriations, of the Select Committee, and all members present here today, and our special guests who are present today. The purpose of the meeting will be properly explained by the Minister. Our interest in the matter as committees of Parliament is that we have a big and significant interest in ensuring proper governance at all levels of government, especially at municipal level. And as we have been doing our oversight responsibility and so on, issues have arisen that require a coordinated, close working together among committees, but also among ministries and departments, so that the name of the lead department, the Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, is appropriately named as Cooperative Governance, as it requires this collaboration across the clusters, across departments, to be able to effect positive support with those stakeholders that are involved. So, we will now request the Minister Sokoni here, Honorable Member Sokoni, to make a few remarks if he wants to, and perhaps Mr. Honorable Member, the Select Committee, to make any remarks that they wish to make at the beginning, so that we then proceed to have any other remarks. That you want.
I might have to start from the beginning. Now, I was saying maybe we should extend our special welcome to our guests. The Accountant General is here, Dadenom Balo, the House Chairperson are here, I see Mama Gada that side, and Comrade Babdela. And I hope that we'll get a list of other guests that are here. Thank you very much. Over to you.
No, thank you very much. We point out that this is a cooperative venture. It cuts across the all of Parliament, National Assembly, as well as the National Council of Provinces. So our select committees and portfolio committees are looking at this thing together. We expect that at the end of the day, at the end of this discussion, the results will be shown in the programs that we will undertake together to effect this work. The acting DG is here. I don't know whether he wants to say, just to say that we should skip it and say that we see that he's here with his team of officials. At the appropriate time, they will let us know who they are and so on. But as for now, I suggest that we move quite speedily to request the minister to join us here so that we start.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Well, we appreciate the offer, and what one would say is that because I'll be presenting from here, I set up, I'm one of the persons who show as parliamentarians that they must follow suit in using technology. It is there for the taking. Thank you very much.
No. Honorable Minister, now that you raise the questions of technology, there's a more traditional technology I wanted to inquire, for which I wonder whether you have capacity. You see, as a conductor, I was wanting to ask the House whether it is appropriate for a conductor to be able to sing or not. I will not wait for responses to that question, but please go ahead.
Thank you very much. What one would say is that first and foremost, the chair has managed to introduce the team, but particularly myself and the DM, I must say that we've been privileged that we are offered this opportunity in a cooperative spirit in terms of the committees that are here and leadership that is here, and also the house chairs that are here from different houses. In that, I see that the NCOP has joined the opposition on the other side of the house. But also, Chairperson, we would say that ourselves on this program, there's what is called ukubamba inkomo ngempondo. You know, the power of a cow is on the neck. Now, if you hold it by the horn, it means you are holding it where it is stronger. If you defeat it there, it is defeated. That is why even when you look at the lion, when it captures it, it goes here. Even yourself, when we slaughter, we go for that part. Now, in this case, when we talk about this program of Operation King Audit 2014, we are holding a bull by its horn. If we manage to deal with this thing, South Africa is going to be a better country to live in. Now, many people are saying this program is not achievable. Many people believe that Operation Clean Audit 2014 is something that cannot be done because it eluded government for the past 15 years. We are saying, with yourself, with your cooperation, we'll be able to ensure that we deal with that. From our perspective, then, we would want to outline that in South Africa, you know that we have 283 municipalities. In those municipalities, 283 of them, we are saying we must be able to deal with this situation. We have 9 provinces with their departments. We are saying in that 2014 we must have clean audits. That's a statement that we are making. The second thing we are saying that with this program must ensure that as government we are able to ensure that we have systems that are sustainable, that can maintain where we are going forward. That's what we believe in. And we are saying then for us to be able to deal with this, we get a report from the Auditor General, we must be able to ensure that the processes of government are able, they are targeted, and were able to achieve the results and were dealing with the issues of the weaknesses in the system that is there. That's our belief in dealing with this issue. Now, you would know that there has been a lot of problems that have been dealt with by the Hotel General on issues that have happened. One of the weaknesses that we are raising, why people are allowed to get disclaimers, adverse opinions, years in succession without anything being done. Our belief is that that situation is not going to be allowed. We must ensure that the accounting officer and the CFO, it is within their performance contract that the issues of management of finances have to be dealt with. We have learned lessons from operation, from the project consolidate, as much as the 5-year local government strategy agenda. And we are saying, given those lessons, that's why we are coming with this program. It is bold, it is decisive, it has never been done, and we know that we are going to achieve it with your cooperation going forward. Because we believe that we are moving in the right direction. Now we are setting targets here, the milestones. We are saying the first thing by 2011, there must be no municipalities, there must be no provincial department where you have adverse opinion or a disclaimer. It means what we want to do, because we have seen the costal factors of these things. Amongst other things is the disappearance of documentation. It means we want to come with a record where we ensure that the rest that are eating this document disappear. Simple formula. Once the rest are not there, documents will be available. Therefore, you'll remove this adverse and disclaimers on this matter. The other thing we're saying that by 2012, 60% must be achieved. By 2013, 75%. 2014, 100% must be achieved. But you must understand, right, that the Auditor General comes after the fact. That you will see the results in 2015 in terms of the 2014 things, because the audit, the books are audited. You get the results a year later on this matter. Now, the way we've looked at this thing, was engaged with the stakeholders when we conceptualized this idea. The Auditor General was at the center, the Accountant General. It means we engaged with the general. Maybe ourselves will be the general sometimes, because we're the lead of the general in this country. We also engaged with SALGA. We also engaged the private sector and the banks. Everybody, they want to come to a party. I must say that there's a lot of goodwill. Even the accountant organization of accountants, SAICA, and others, they want to come to the party. We came then to launch on the 16th of July in Beachwood Hotel, Eguruleni, in Gauteng. From there, we are expecting that all provinces must launch the date. We are shifting it to the 30th of November, because to say that by Tuesday, end of November, all provinces must have launched in this matter. But not only that, now what has happened up so far? Because we believe at a national level, we'll be supporting provinces. Work must be done at a municipal level and at a provincial level. Northwest is launched on the 11th of September. Limpopo is launched on the 23rd. Northern Cape is launched on the 1st. I must say that Western Cape launched secretly. They've taken all the ideas and went to launch without acknowledging the developer of the concept. Now, we have then agreed with them that we are writing a letter. They've actually communicated with us this week. We are responding where we are saying, no, whatever they do must be within the national parameters, must be within the national program, because in South Africa, we have one government with three spheres. Therefore, that must be recognized at all times, that this is a national program and it must be taken as such. The Free State, We are looking, we are expecting to launch on the 30th. KZN, we are still awaiting a date. Pumalanga, we are awaiting a date. Eastern Cape is launching next week on Tuesday. As much as Gauteng is launching 2 days later, on Thursday, next week. Now, you can see that the structures are coming into place. The drivers of this program are going to be there. And we believe that the coordinating committee will be driving this program at the provincial level. But at the same time, they are ambassadors. What we call clean audit ambassadors. Those ambassadors are people who have achieved clean audits in their own institutions in the past years. We are saying we are taking the best practices out of them. They must assist others. Let's take the case of the Northwest. In the Northwest, you have municipalities that have achieved clean audits are three. Two districts, the district of Bujanala has been achieving clean audits since time immemorial. The district of Dr. Ruth Mampati has been achieving clean audits, and then the local municipality. Now, if you take those two districts, they must be able to take the skill, the experience, the knowledge to the local. It means you have dealt with the local. You will be left there now with the other two districts where you will lose the local to learn on that. This thing is possible, is achievable, and so on. We are working with the auditor general, the accountant general, and also with the provincial treasury. Of course, we are working together in this program. Those are the drivers of the program who are ensuring that things happen. Now, our belief is that Parliament is a defender of these things. Because if you promote the oversight work that must be done, what it means in essence is that in South Africa, we'll be able to combat corruption. Because the issue of corruption, fraud, mismanagement, is something that is at the core of the issues of the use of resources. But not only that, service delivery is at the core of this. That is why then we believe that Parliament must play its role, must ensure that the taxpayer's money is used judiciously. We are saying that the public accounts committees must be established. We are looking at ensuring that by the 15th of December, in all municipalities, we must have public accounts committees that are running things. And also, the instrument for monitoring and evaluation. We are saying the executive authorities must get monthly financial statements. That's the first thing. You must know as a mayor, as an executive committee, as a minister, as an MEC, that the department gives you financial statements every month. And you know how the money is spent in the organization. That's the first thing. The second thing we're saying, we must be able to allow the public accounts committee at the municipal level and this level to get quarterly financial statements so that you don't meet things after books have been audited. But you can see the trend at all times, you're on top of the situation. We are also saying that there will be summits every year from a municipality going to the province, culminating at a national level, where we'll evaluate what has happened, look at the loopholes and weaknesses, and intervene. That's an instrument that we'll be using to monitor this process. And also, we believe then that this program must be ensured, we must ensure that at all times when you engage departments, you play an important role. From our side, we'll be engaging with the accountant general, auditor general, because we believe that they are very important in the contribution in realizing our objectives, these structures. The private sector is ready to work with us, and we are ready to work with them, and we believe that whatever we are saying today is achievable. In that note, we would want to thank you. We would want you to buy in this program. We would want you to arise above petty politics. We would want you to ensure that you see the way as a country. South Africa is undergoing a revolution. And I think we know that the revolution is a dramatic and a drastic change. It's not a reform. Therefore, in that case, be part of this revolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Just before I move, I would like to correct a mistake I made earlier by explicitly not welcoming the Deputy Chair of the NGOP, Honorable Memela. You and the House Chairperson, Bapela, who's also amongst us here, and now joined by the Deputy Chief Whip, make a very important point that presiding officers, you have come to support the chairpersons of committees and members in being part of the launch of this process, indicating the seriousness with which it is regarded as a significant area of work. We appreciate your presence, and that's the issue. Minister, I want to pick up one very important thing that we don't do often enough that you have done, but only in passing. That is the what you call the ambassadors for clean audit. In other words, there are municipalities and individual councillors, I want to add, who are doing a good job. And in a sense, we haven't always explicitly cited them, like you've done today, for example, in Northwest. We need to request you and other ministers as well to help us, even as committees ourselves, to do so, to give emphasis to those areas where things have been done and been done well. That will change the attitude that exists, that everything else is bad, and so on, when in fact it's not. So thank you for pointing that out. We appreciate it. We will now request the Dr. Siswana to go into the detail of the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members, and thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, officials, Acting Director General, Mr. Eroy Afrika. Chairperson, as we then, as I said, that I'm getting to the details of the program. The Minister outlined the key issues around this project and the seriousness that this project deserves. Allow me to put issues into perspective in outlining the contextual analysis and why we are at this point in time with regard to this project. We developed an approach and a strategy to deal with it in terms of getting relevant information or factual information about it when we started and analyzing the whole project, take into account what has happened before the project consolidate and the local government five-year agenda. But what is critical about it is that what we did what we call situation analysis, assessing the issues around financial management, leadership, governance at municipal level, including provincial departments. And what we did prior to the launch, we visited provinces. We assessed their reports, particularly the annual report, we assess each report, just to give us a sense what is that we are talking about, what is that one we deal with. And also took into account what has been done by Gauteng as a province around opportunity audit. But I think what is critical, members of parliament, for us to say through this project, we are able to deal or to improve financial management both in provinces and in municipalities. We're able to improve fiscal governance. And I think number of reports have outlined or reported, captured the issue which is around fiscal governance at a municipal level in particular. And what we're saying, which is very critical, through operating clean audit, we're able to improve or provide quality service to the people. Because it is not just about clean audit. What is critical is that clean audit must translate to quality service delivery. There are institutional challenges are faced by departments and municipalities. Critical to those is financial management and leadership. weaknesses of internal control, inadequate financial control, low kind of risk management, and lack of performance management, and lack of financial skills, corruption, and boycott administrative interference. In summarizing these key institutional challenges that are faced by municipalities and departments, it is critical to note that these challenges prevent or compromise service delivery. But in looking forward, what we did, we look at the ACES report, audit outcome, at the municipal level and also the provincial level. I will not go into details of those municipal audit outcomes. But what is critical about it, if you look at it, both the municipal and provincial audit outcomes, the areas of disclaimers from 2007 financial year to 2007-2008, where you see a lot of disclaimers. But the key question that we are asking, or we ask when analyze this report, if the situation is like this and so bad, like in the manner in which it reflects itself here, how are we going to improve service delivery? The issues of internal control that are raised earlier on create this situation. The culture of organization, the lack of culture of accountability, and the sense of responsibility for managers. And the other question, Chapter 3 in the Members of Parliament, that thing I need to raise with regard to this issue of financial management. And we embark on this project. Myself and the team that visited the provinces, we asked a very critical question to them, that if we are faced with this situation, are we really dealing with financial management issues here, or are we dealing with the attitude of officials? And that's the key question that we need to address when you go along with this project. And if we're dealing with financial management, we're able to deal with that head on. But if we're dealing with attitude, we need to turn things around and make sure that the culture program is changed to deal with this issue. In going forward, Chapter 13, we analyze the issue of governance and leadership in municipalities in particular. If you look at the slides and the graphs that are in front of you, I will summarize the issue here. You have a high level of unqualified and qualified, the disclaimers, adverse opinion. But if you look at the 204, 205, and 205, 06, 06, 07, and 07, 08. But when you look at it, you see a change. But at the same time, 207, 208, you see a little bit of improvement. But what you are saying, whether at this point in time we are having unqualified or qualified, the key challenge that we are facing, we must close the gap, we must get unqualified. The trend with regard to this audit outcome cannot go in a manner in which it goes, regressing, at sometimes it's improving, going back, improving. What does it mean? It means the culture of organization sometimes changes in terms of leadership within an organization, a lack of accountability, and a sustainability plans that are presented by management. If, for example, in a particular municipality, they have given auditor general remedial plans, it cannot be remedial plans that are going to deal with that particular problem just for that financial year. It must be a sustainable remedial plan to ensure that come the end of the financial year and the year to come, a few years to come, there will be no qualified opinion within that municipality and that department. So what we are calling for is that we need to have sustainable remedial plan to maintain the situation. Here we're providing another the appointment of CFOs. Why we are providing this particular information? You will see the number of CFOs as from September 2009. That is the vacant posts that are there. Here, the concern is not the number of posts that have been filled for by CFOs or by those municipalities. It's the ability of those CFOs to deal with financial management. Because we can have CFOs, vacant posts filled. But most of the time and most often you find that the reports are not coming. When these CFOs have to account, the reports are not coming. Therefore, what it means is that the person that has been appointed is not up to the task. We cannot deal with each of CFOs just to comply that must have CFOs. There is no balance between the number of people appointed here and the quality of annual financial statements. In some municipalities, you will find a situation, if I make an example to a person in the members of parliament, that you find a situation where you are a CFO is employed, but you find that it's employed because in that particular rural municipality, he or she understands mathematics very well. An assumption is made by that municipality that if you are good in mathematics and algebra, you are also good in financial management. And those are two different things. Here we are talking about your career. If you are good in law and legal, you are very good for masters in law, assumption is made that you can be good in financial management. So that's the issue that I'm raising here. The other issue that is also critical is the issue of governance. The audit committees and internal audit units. Here we have got audit committees. We briefly outlined just a snapshot survey around the issues. We have these audit committees, 70% to 16%. The issue again, we have these audit committees to make sure that there's oversight within those municipalities. But come 30 August 2009, municipalities can't submit annual financial statements. Therefore, the question is, if you have got this number, why municipalities can't submit financial statements when they are required by law? Yet, the oversight committees are there. Here again, you see the number, but you don't see the quality output. The other area that I briefly want to discuss on is that based on what we have, out of 283 municipalities we have, 58 have not submitted annual financial statements or submitted late when they are supposed to submit by 3 August 2009. What means is that come the time when we have to release the audit outcomes, you will find a situation where it says unaudited because there was absolutely no information. Nobody supplied information. This is a situation that was facing the demonstrators. Now, based on this analysis, we developed a program, Jefferson, that you see in front of you, the brochure, the log thing. It's based on this analysis that says we have to turn things around. I'm not going to get into details of the program, but this is a program that's informed by that, by analysis that we've done that I've given you just now. We also took into account Stellenbosch agreement normally what we do, we meet on a quarterly basis. Municipalities meet and discuss issues regarding municipal finance. We met some time in Stellenbosch where we developed and agreed on a plan of the program of action in regard of a single audit. We took that into account. We also analyzed, when we developed this plan, the situation in the provincial and municipal level around audit opinions, and we developed this project, this document. But I must say, the process was very consultative with provinces, and are cooperating at the moment. Chairperson, if I move quickly to the pillars. What we are moving forward, this program has got pillars. But what we did, we took into account what AG calls, refers to the indicators of AG. That when it comes to clean audit, we want to make sure that when you are dealing with this project, there must be a clear trail of supporting documentation that is easily available. We raised issues with provinces, we raised issues with municipalities when we met them prior to this meeting today. That there must be, at this time, that's why the minister raised earlier on, that if they arrest eating the documents, we need to find that that they are removed in those municipalities. But in some cases, the auditors come in the morning, the documents are not available. Come after the auditors have left the institution, the documents are available. This is a situation that we have to deal with. Now, again, the quality of financial statement is also very critical, but also the timeliness of financial statement and management of information becomes so crucial so as to ensure that this process goes smoothly. Once again, which is very critical, is the availability of key officials during audits. We emphasize with the provincial coordinating committees that officials must be available all the time. It makes no sense for auditor general to visit and audit an institution, and then the key officers are not available, as some are attending MBs or what the process is going on. This is the issue that I'm talking about here. Again, we also want to make sure that there are very good internal controls, and also during this process, also emphasize supervision and monitoring. And that's what one of the things that are very critical, because if you engage or working on this project and there's poor supervision and monitoring within those institutions, you definitely find the situation of what it is. Now, the strategy implemented with this project, what we have done, we have established what we call provincial coordinating committees. These are the committees coming or comprised of your COFTA at the provincial level, Office of the Premier, Provincial Treasury, and also the AG. But AG is invited to those meetings most of the time because they do not want to compromise AG's independence. But at the same time, SAGA is also invited. But this Provincial Coordinating Committee is the face of operating audit at provincial level. At the same time, it's a technical committee that's prepared to advise. Within that committee, we have a committee on capacity, subcommittees on capacity and enforcing other issues. So we are dealing with those issues at provincial level. But what we are saying to these committees when we meet them, one of the things that we think are critical for them to do is again to do what I've explained earlier on, situation analysis of the province. They cannot start with this project if they've not analyzed whether they've got leadership within a municipality or a department. In this case, I'm talking about your CFOs, your MM, your municipal managers, or your SOD. Because these are the leaders who are supposed to implement the project. So they must do that. They must also do the governance analysis. How many audit committees? How many internal audits? But what is critical is not the number of them, but are they functioning, are they competent enough to deal with the issue? Again, the issue of political oversight becomes crucial. The scope of these committees, their role is to drive these as implementers of this project. Again, they must provide the feedback to the premier in various provinces and other MSCs of COFTA and other departments and provide progress reports. That's their role. But what is critical, they must develop a program that says in this particular province, we are going to deal with this operating credit in this particular way. A project plan for Limpopo as a province cannot be same as Western Cape. Now, they must also manage deliverables of housing credit, work closely with NETAD department, that's our department, and encourage collaboration. Again, what is critical? These committees, they must interact with departments and other partners to share information. But especially in the members of parliament, what we are saying to them, they must report on the following, at least. Annual comprehensive analysis of issues contributing to a negative audit outcome. They must be able to tell and give us a report and say, these are the factors that contribute to audit outcome in this particular province, so that this whole issue is sustainable in the future. Develop a province-wide, a district-wide audit remedial plan. What I'm saying around the remedial plan, they must be sustainable. He cannot be a quick win solicitor. Number of municipalities and provincial departments implementing inquiry financial statements, quality of financial statements, and other establishments and functionality of internal audits, risk management committees, audit committees. Here we're talking about governance issues. Because what is critical is whether we can manage these finances well, but the critical is governance, oversight. These committees must function very well. And also there must be issue of capacity, because we want to deal with issue of capacity as we're dealing with this project. There are critical operational issues that I think steps in before I conclude here that are very critical. As we go along with this project, we have joint efforts with other generals. We want to work together, accountant general and oversight committees. We feel that it's critical for us to work together. It makes sure that this project works well. The other area which is crucial is that once we're moving forward, we really want one thing that we're quite sure and we're very clear about it, is that we will turn around the situation if we work like this. But what is critical also, when committees and departments and municipalities work on this project, they must understand that is financial management is critical for the service delivery. If they don't manage their finances very well, then service delivery will compromise. That's why we are saying that as much as you aim for a clean audit, you must also aim, equal aim, for good quality service to our people. The other area which is critical is the capacity of departments and officials, so that we make sure that as we work on this project, officials are capacitated, they are able to do the work. Anyway, I want to mention this chapter in the Municipal Parliament that when we train people around this project, what we have adopted is that we will do what we call on-job training. We will show you how to file if you can't file. We will show you how to count if you can't count on the job, so that you begin to learn in the process. As a way forward, we're planning to strengthen our provincial coordinating committees as from November. We do provincial visits to discuss the turnaround strategies with clear milestones starting in November. So after the launches, we are moving forward. We want to focus on disclaimers and adverts. For us to hit the target of any level, we need to package all these municipalities, provincial departments. They've been getting disclaimers and asking. We will focus on them and say, what is the plan now, from now, in few months to come, to turn off the situation around and give us the clear milestones. We will support them in future. Also, we are also developing a capacity strategy, because once we are going to this project, and when I hear and some people say, you know, the capacity municipality, we acknowledge that there's a lack of capacity, but we are going to support them, train them, retain people, make sure that they move with speed. But we'll do very close monitoring of this project. We will do quarterly meetings. We'll review it. As at the technical level, we'll review this project on a quarterly basis. But also we're planning, members of parliament, we are planning to have just a conference on corporate governance at a local government. Here, we are not discussing academic issues. It's not an academic conference. We are saying to municipalities, come and say, this is how you struggle around dealing with financial management issues, audit committees, internal audit committees. Then we begin to create models, because some municipalities are very rural. They can't afford to pay some people around in the audit committees. We need to find ways and meet and say, how do we deal with this situation? We are currently having a discussion with the Office of Auditor General around this issue. Chairperson, the other issue is the question of corruption that the minister alluded to earlier on. That will deal with the issue. We have a robust campaign around this issue and issue of corruption and fraud. We have a parallel project, or a parallel project we have called ISOMI. ISOMI aims to promote ethics. At the same time, we will fight corruption. But we're working in this project with DPSA and PSC. We're trying to conceptualize currently the strategies how to deal with the matter. We also work with the Ethiopian Police Service, the Hawks, in dealing with issue of corruption. So that whilst we're dealing with operating clothes, we are also aware that there are corrupt individuals that will pick up on the way. We as Coptar, we don't have the money to arrest. That's why we have to partner with the policemen for them to arrest. And women. Okay. All right, Chairperson, thank you. In conclusion, we believe that overthinking OG 2014, we are going to create a very consolidated single nation provincial local government agenda that is very transformed. True overthinking audit will have positive audit outcome even beyond 2014. We don't want to have another operation after 2014. That's why we call upon department, provincial department and municipalities to develop a sustainable rebellion plan. We also saying that leadership and governance become so crucial around this project. All these committees must function in a proper way. Again, we cannot re-emphasize this point that service delivery, clean audits are critical. If we aim for clean audits, also aim to improve service in our own municipalities. With the interpersonal, let's work together to realize this vision. It is possible. We can do it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Siswana. And again, a very useful scanning of the issues that require the attention of the stakeholders you've identified. It helps us to see the environment in which we are going to be working. Members, we are now going to provide an opportunity for you to ask questions and perhaps make short, brief comments. Now, let's be very brief and crisp so that we must cover as many issues and as many people as possible. I know as MPs we do want to elaborate, contextualize, etc., etc. Let's zero in on the issues so that we can then have give the minister and his team the opportunity to respond to the questions that we have. We welcome our guests in the gallery who are now leaving. We appreciate your flying visits. They are helpful. Honorable member, Lemias Michile at the back there, the chairperson of the Auditor General, and welcome to the Chief Whip. Welcome, sir. We notice you joined us. Thank you very much. Yes, in that order. Let's proceed. We'll give you an opportunity, three of you, four of you, yes, yeah. Okay. You start, sir.
Thank you, Chair. The proposal, I think everybody will support, because the basic idea behind an audit is to get a clean audit, not to have qualified audits. So we definitely support the whole idea and the program. What I would like to know, though, is a few years ago, National Treasury for local authorities introduced a GAMAP form of accounting. And I would like to know whether all municipalities in South Africa, all 286 of them, are already on the GAMAP system of accounting or not. Because if they're not, they're going to have a major problem in achieving the outcomes that we want to achieve in terms of the clean audit.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to indicate that we welcome these bold steps that have been taken to really correct the situation. And it has been a long time that communities have been tolerating mediocrity at the level of municipality in terms of appointment of officials. Now, what I just want to raise is, in the process of this clean audit, they will find people that are occupying those positions as CFOs who are not qualified, who are not appropriate, and who may not even be trainable to be able to do what is expected out of them. What is there that's going to happen? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Michael Masuta. I chair the Standing Committee on the Auditor General. One of the constitutional imperatives contained in Chapter 9 of the Constitution is that other organs of state must assist and ensure the effectiveness of the office of the Auditor General in this instance, but generally of Chapter 9 institution. And I would like to take the opportunity on behalf of my committee as well to actually compliment the Minister and his team for doing exactly that through the launch of this program. I think that providing political leadership in this regard is very critical to the effectiveness, in particular, of the role of the Auditor General in ensuring that we have clean governance. The question I'd like to ask the Minister is that I believe that after all is said and done, after the Auditor General has reported, Parliament has considered the report of the Auditor General, ultimately the executive has the authority to take action. If official disciplinary action has to be taken, it rests ultimately with the executing authority concerned. Has the Minister or is the Minister planning to interact with colleagues at all three spheres within the executive sphere to ensure that appropriate action in each instance is taken to make sure that we get rid of the rent and that the rent tax is actually effectively applied?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. First of all, I would really like to thank the Minister and the Deputy Minister for what they're doing today. Coming to Parliament and allowing us as members of Parliament to express our views on this, I think they're setting a very, very good example for all the other Cabinet Ministers come to Parliament, come to the parliamentarians, and just don't launch something outside there. The Honourable Minister brought it to the House with a statement there, and today this opportunity, that is very good. Thank you very much for the way you're doing things. I think as far as the Western Cape is concerned, the Honourable Minister mustn't see it perhaps not in a bad light. I think what happened is a question of wise men think alike and fools never differ. You know, when the DA came into power, they realized this is something that will have to be done in the Western Cape, and they started some work on it. I had a meeting with the MEC on Monday, and they're definitely going to support this program. But I think we all agree in this House, you know, the ANC is more a party of launching, the DA is more a party of doing, you know. We can be assured that also the Western Cape will do their bit, and they realize the necessity of this. Now, Minister, coming to legislation, I had a look at the Municipal Finance Management Act. And you know, that is a very, very good piece of legislation. It is actually very restrictive. I think it is so restrictive that is one of the reasons why municipalities don't get a clean audit, because the requirements, I mean, it's clear in that act that on the 21st of the next month, let me put it that way, the mayor must receive a report on the finances of the previous month, that audit committees must be established, that the audit committee must report back on the previous year's audit. So everything is actually in that act, but it is a question of to comply with it. And even the question of public account committees, that there's nothing that prohibits municipalities at the moment to put it up, and some have done it. I can tell you our DA-controlled municipality in Gauteng has done it, Midvaal,
previous mayor sits here. She even told me that in the name of the ANC member that is chairing that committee, that is also a very good example, that it must be somebody from the opposition, because the quality of work that they do and the independence and the oversight is going to be very important. So, Minister, I think that we will support you if we can have this legislation change, that we specifically provide that a public accounts committee must be set up. At the moment, I mean, it's not voluntary. So we must come with that legislative changes. But I was to ask you, apart from that, I don't actually see any other changes that are necessary in legislation. It is a question of just doing what is required of us. My second last point is just, I think we must also concentrate on what are the reasons, what has gone wrong up to now. And quite a number of things have been mentioned. You mentioned the question of attitude. It's been mentioned that people occupy positions that they really don't can do that, do the work. Documents that disappear. Another thing that I would like to add is all these funds, mayor funds and so on, the funds that are spent on everything, and that's where you run into all sorts of problems, capacity, skills and so on. So I think that we must make a more comprehensive list of what are the reasons that has gone wrong or that we're in this position, and try and rectify that. And then, just in conclusion, I would like to ask specifically in the department itself, who is going to run this project? Are you going to establish a smaller unit that is actively going to liaise with municipalities and provinces so that we can be assured that it is driven with the full force of the capacity of the department? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Humphrey Mokgobe, Chairperson of the Select Committee on Cooperative Governance. I would like to indeed congratulate the Minister to hold a board by his word. I think it's high time that after 8 years, this realization has came into the department. Our finances at municipal level really leave much to be desired. But my comment and a contribution would be that the problem to run this clean audit should really be funded. Results should be gathered, because we'd want to see indeed the results of this program. We'd want to request that whoever has got funds should assist the department. If we make our oversight, we shouldn't be told that they are not funds, because that is the only way in which we'll achieve the result in this way. And also maybe to suggest that this gathering, I don't know how to call it, if we could get reports maybe twice a year, so that we are able to make further input on whatever weaknesses that the program has found during the process of cleaning the rest out of the eating of the document. The other is that one would want to make as a contribution. I would like to say, while we're implementing the program, it should be geared indeed towards minimizing the Section 139 that we see in some of the municipalities. Precisely because some of the Section 139 is as a result of the weakness in financial management and lack of compliance with the system of our finance and management level. If we minimize that, indeed we would move towards a society that is compliant financially. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Wattie Watson, dear leader in the NCOP. I want to also add my congratulations to the Minister on launching this program the way it's done. You can see that that the Minister is actually a graduate of the NCOP, and the wisdom that he's portraying as a part member of the Upper House. Chair, you know, I perceive this program as a bit of heaven for local government. But you know, all of us that are Christians know that if we strive for heaven, there's always hell that's in the way somewhere. But what I'm trying to say is that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And here again, we have a lot of good intentions. And if they're not policed and carried out properly, they're going to fall by the wayside. I sat next to the Deputy Minister 15 years ago drafting most of the legislation, and we built in all the checks and balances to make local government good and proper and governable. But in the cracks, things have slipped in. And the biggest thing that has slipped into those cracks is cadre deployment by the government, the governing party. We must admit, Chair, that most of the municipalities that are failing because those in power are junior to those junior to them in the parties. We found it in our visits to municipalities. We've got situations in my province, many of them, where the municipality simply disregards the instructions of the executive because he's senior to the mayor in party structures. Now, that must stop, and if it doesn't stop, we're not going to get this system to work. So my plea is, please, let's get rid of cadre deployment. Let's get people employed by municipalities who are professionals at their job and not professional politicians. I'd like to also add, Chair, that my colleague here mentioned the PMFA, FMA. Well, there really are some stumbling blocks in that legislation. We've just, in a visit to my province, come across a situation where because the PFMA prohibits PFMA. Yeah, all right, that one. You know, the ANC is so full of acronyms, I get confused between CMA and ANC sometimes. But the Finance Management Act, let's talk about it, what it is. It prohibits politicians to sit on bidding committees and municipalities. Now, in essence, that sounds good because you want to keep the corrupt politicians out of the bidding committees. But then in creeps the corrupt officials. And we found that because the politicians weren't there to do the oversight that they should at the bidding committees, in municipalities where property, for instance, comes available, municipal property, at the bidding committees, it's actually the officials that then secretly go and buy up the property and sell it for a profit. So there are many things in the Management Act that we seriously have to look at if we want to make the system work. And then in conclusion, Chair, the swipe that the minister took at the Western Cape, I just want to say they may have done a good thing in secret, but all the corruption in the LA province were also done in secret. Thank you.
Let's do it this way. No. Let's do this. It's Honorable George there. And then, no, this gentleman, that's Mazlamin. In that order. And then Peter Smith. Who's mumbling now? Yes, Congress Dan. Yes, you will follow at the end. Yes. In that way, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. This is a very welcome project, but it's also going to be a very complex project to achieve. Now, there are some things that are easier than others to achieve, and one of the areas that may be fairly easy to achieve is that the Auditor General reported to the Standing Committee on the Auditor General that senior officials often are not available or don't make themselves available to discuss the findings of audits when they're in progress and also to provide the necessary information. Now, this is something that is very easy to fix in the short run. And the question is, Minister, what is going to be happening in the short run to hold to account those officials that don't come to the party when they should? Because, as I say, it's actually quite easy to achieve in the short run. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
No, it's him and then you. Triangle. Yes, go ahead then.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Pasi. My name is Honorable Gunda. I'm also a member of the Select Committee on COPTA and the NCOP, and I'm from the Northern Cape. I would like to congratulate the Minister and the Deputy Minister for such a fine work on paper. And I can say I've seen the minister since he's been appointed as the minister of Kokta. I've seen his seriousness concerning getting service to the people. My biggest concern is on two points that I think Dr. Siswana said. It is leadership and political oversight. If we can get leadership and political oversight right, 95% of the problem are solved. In local municipality, there's not only a lack of leadership, there's a big problem of understanding the word leadership. Some senior officials, some politicians in local government doesn't understand the word leadership. They don't know what the meaning of the word leadership. The other thing is, the political oversight is of utmost importance when it comes to local government. Number one, the provincial department of Kokta needs to take this plan seriously. Where mayors have been found guilty and where MMs are guilty, how can they still deploy them and give them a golden handshake? We need to stop that thing. If we take the people seriously, and this plan, if we want to see this plan implemented, as the minister said, we need to clean. We need to have clean audit. In other words, we need to take the people out who is stopping this clean audit. It's a hard word to say, but political oversight in local government, I cannot emphasize it more. It's so much important. So that, because it is the people who elected that local government. It's the people who are suffering who elected the council. And if we don't listen to the people, if we don't listen to the plea of the people, let me just make an example. I think 2 weeks ago we were in Mpumalanga, we were shocked seeing the report there of the municipalities that we went to. We were shocked. That report is still coming to the house. But all I want to say, Minister and Deputy Minister and your team, we from the Select Committee of Kokta, we will support each and every bit of this. We will not play political issues. We won't take this thing petty issues. No. We're going to take it seriously because we also want to see that this off-term government succeed in their plans in whatever they want to do. I thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Minister Sweto, I've got a few questions. The first one is, we are all aware that there are few but critical issues that you still have to attend on local government. Indeed, governance experience and critical capacity is still a serious problem. What is not in your program? What are you going to do about that? Going to say you're going to develop skills, you're going to do this, but how are you going to monitor that it is happening and get a database as to what skills are they and what is the validity or the accreditation of those skills? That is very critical. Two, it's a public knowledge. There is a serious power struggle which paralyzes the services within the municipality. What are you going to do about it? Because it's a personality thing, and it's very difficult to change the personality. You can change the behavior, but the personality is a serious problem. Three. You know, it's unfortunate that the statistician general was not invited. He was supposed to be here, because he is the source of the problem due to undercounting. Now, yes, you have mentioned other stakeholders that are relevant, the accountant general, the auditor general, but they are just doing the monitoring and evaluation. That's all what they're doing. A person who comes with the data is the statistician general. The system he is using, is it correct? Can he still continue doing it? how valid the data is there, because the finance will allocate according to those demographics. And if the allocation is wrong, it will result to the poor service, insufficient service money allocated, and at the end of the day, it paralyzes also the information. Lastly, is my comment. I suggest that the coordination, a serious coordination, which I don't think it was there, Honorable Minister, between your department, Auditor General, Accountant General, and statisticians must be live. If it was not born, it must be born today, it must stand up and run. So as to ensure that you achieve those set goals, which you have put on top of, which are quite good. And lastly, maybe you also need to visit the MSMA. You see, I'm not a CPA. I know when I talk about the right thing. You know, if you look at the MSMA, it speaks about the roles or the responsibilities of the mayor. But it doesn't say anything about the deputy mayor. And this person gets paid every day. But then X doesn't say anything, it's quiet. And as a result, there's an overlap and the duplication. Whom are you going to blame? So are you going to take them to the CMA? Yes, but you're not going to win the case. So if you can just review that, I think so.
Thank you. Yes?
Thanks, Comrade Chair. I like what the Minister is saying when he says that he's taking the bulls by the horns. You see, you don't talk about bulls and you don't talk about horns where there is no crisis. So once you talk about the bulls and the horns, then it means there's a huge crisis. So I appreciate the fact that the Minister is aware of the crisis with the local government. We had actually visited one of our colleagues has indicated, Mpumalanga, and met with a number of municipalities there. Yeah, it is true that there are very serious problems on the ground. And I'm happy that the team of the minister has got some of those problems. But I would like to make some of the examples about the municipalities that we have met. But the concern that I want to raise from the upfront is that with the Municipality Management Act, you have got punitive action. There is a clause that indicates any punitive action that can be taken against the municipality or the financial officer of the municipality with respect to any irregularity or misuse. Now, the municipality itself has not been seen to act, and I suppose that in terms of the act, it is the office of the minister that has to take any punitive measure in terms of taking that particular official or those particular officials to court. This is something that has to take place in order to send a message across the country in all the municipalities. But the issue that I want to raise is that one of one municipality. It's a very small municipality in the rural area. And the manner in which the budget is utilized, you find that 50% of the budget goes to the salary. And as a result, there is no delivery in the area. And that is one of the hot spots for the current demonstrations and trainings and routines that is taking place. And with respect to some of the municipalities, you get the sense that they deliberately disregard the law. Because even the PMSA is quite clear in terms of the utilization of those funds and the reporting of those funds. So you get the sense that basic accounting principles are not being followed. Because when one municipality comes to account, another one comes to account as well. And you say that there is an irregularity, there is not the same subject. They don't seem to be singing from the same tune. So the there is that problem in terms of reporting financially on what they've been doing, what has been allocated to them, and so on. Our oversight work, you know, in all these municipalities, we would love to get a sense that whenever we bring a report with recommendations and of some of the challenges that we've been able to identify as a committee, we need an assurance, you know, that there will be that dynamic relationship between our own committee and you know, the relevant ministries on those the oversight visits, because we picked up very serious problems in some of the municipalities and recommendations have been made. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah,
thank you, Chair. I'm Zukile Luyenge. Chair, I also want to appreciate the bold steps that have been taken by the Honourable Minister. But there's one thing that I want to suggest to the Honourable MEC. One is an animal called service delivery standard. The Honourable Minister, you know, I'm used to those small ministers at the level that I'm coming from. A service delivery standard.
They're not small at all, including in size.
Yeah. We need to have a service delivery standard which will actually determine and justify any deliverable outcome, whether it is responding to the need that it was intended for. Then the other issue, Chair, is an issue of the skills audit, assessment, development. Then after all that has happened, there is nothing that comes forth. There is no improvement on service delivery. What sanction can the minister suggest? And then, lastly, the issues that are being raised recurringly by the Auditor General all have a basis of the Municipal Finance Management Act, the Public Finance Management Act, and also the Constitution. But there are institutions that have their responsibility to take action on the basis of what the AG has said, as informed by the pieces of legislation and the Constitution. What then can the minister suggest pertaining to institutions that behave like an animal with teeth but not biting? Because they are institutions, they are legislators, they are councils, which need to take actions, but they don't take such actions against the transgressors, the failures, who actually get huge salaries without being competent. If they are competent, they are corrupt. Then actions are not taken. What is the suggestion on the part of the minister to ensure that whoever manages or takes action does that in accordance with the Constitution? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Tim Harris. My colleague, Honourable Montisi, raised this issue already, but I want to get a specific answer on it. And that is, obviously, the presentation was full of very admirable objectives, but I've got a question around enforcement. If you look at one of the slides, it said that one out of every five municipalities didn't submit their annual financial statements, and one in ten of them don't have audit committees or internal audits. Now, those things are provided for and demanded in the MFMA. So, effectively, those municipalities are operating outside the law. They're operating illegally there in terms of the Act. How do we deal with those breaches of the MFMA? Surely, an initiative like this needs to have more detail around the stick approach. I understand there's a carrot of bonuses for clean audits, which is great. But on the other hand, you also need a stick to enforce compliance with the Act. Clearly, if there's complete breakdown, then the Act and the Constitution provide for interventions, which is great. But if the municipality just isn't complying with specific things, does this initiative not need to have specific ways of enforcing, of ensuring that it does. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Minister, we are very much happy about the wonderful plan you put to us. Now, my question is, seeing that the present situation is not so conducive with the municipality, and how effective is your research? Because while looking forward on the 2040 to achieve the goal, you are going to have those who block you just to set an interdict, or sometimes they take you to court, as it is happening. Have you got that strategy in order to pave the way, despite of the fact that no, this thing is that done, you carry on bulldozing them, so that we have still that one. Right.
Let me talk to the gentleman there. There are three of you. One, two, three, this is three. And that gentleman at the back there, that day, he's the Secretary General of SAM. This is a mini launch, honorable member, so we can give the members outside. So, in that order, can we then give him the space? Luenama, it's not now when I want to tell us the very far that the fellowship breaker up.
No, thank you, Chair. The issue that has been raised by the Minister, I think we extend our appreciation for that particular move to deal with the challenges. But over more than 15 years, some of the problems that were fixed in the local government do relate to this question of the kind of management put in place, which currently the law on these CFOs and municipal managers does promote the question of contractual arrangement. And that particular problem, some of the people, CFOs, vacancies, and so forth, they are caught in a fixed contract. And during the end of the term, they have to look for new employment. They are not sure they are going to be there or else. Now, these are very pertinent issues that we have picked up. I think one of the things we can limit the problem there effectively. But I think the problem, again, we should not be overemphasizing on the CFOs, municipal managers, the mayors alone. There's a chain in the whole process. Now, if you leave other important people to the whole process of finances in local government, councillor's capacity in dealing with this question, because some of the things you find that when things go to the council, ordinary councillors turn to have particular problem with the report presented there, because it's either due to lack of information or understanding. Capacity part, Minister, would be a very key issue that perhaps can be looked at. But central is the level of occupants in terms of posts in municipalities. You are seated with a huge problem that more than 100,000 jobs are vacant in local government, including CFOs, including municipal managers, or else some are acting in this particular position. You are creating a very chaotic situation. One of the processes moving forward is to deal with these bottlenecks immediately. People are appointed. But also you unfreeze where vacancy rate. But the question that has been raised that came from other side with regard to financial capacity in local government, I think the funding model there must be relooked by MPs. The parliament must effectively, through the minister, one of the municipalities spending 50% on the wages, is simply that municipality, the first instance chair, was not supposed to be in place. The capacity base of that municipality is dependent actually on the equitable shares or any other form of income. Therefore, you are likely to see the salary part consuming quite a lot. But I think it's important that I think government must look at that aspect very clearly, and we are prepared, Minister, as well, to give support on those issues. I must also indicate the political wrangling
is another factor. We have seen this in Western Cape, among the DA controls or coalition controls. They are causing problems in the relation between workers and management. Now, these are the issues that MPs must deal with, and I like the statement, be not on politics, just focus on the issue. Small things contribute to major problems. And I think the red tape that has been talked about will definitely be effective in dealing with those issues, Minister. Thank you.
In the order I suggested, you say, tell us who you are, and I'll call you by your name.
I'm Pierre Robbie, I'm a member of the Democratic Alliance, Chairman.
Pierre Robbie.
Yeah. And I'm also a member of the Portfolio Committee on Appropriations and also the Economic Development. Chairman, I come from a rural area. And what is of a particular concern to me is the degree of duplication which occurs between district municipalities and local municipalities, or what's called B and C municipalities. Chairman, services are becoming very expensive, and ratepayers complain every day, especially in rural areas where they do not have the income. The ordinary taxpayer, the ordinary resident, do not have the income that people have in metropolitan areas and so forth. And what is of concern to me, Chair, that we've got two bloated bureaucracies in many rural areas where, with due respect, I think things can be simplified if it's been rendered by a single authority. And then the second thing, as Chairman, which I also find very disturbing, I've got a local government background, is the dependency of many of our local authorities upon consultants. With due respect, they charge an arm and a leg, and we have officials there which often are not able to deliver the goods, and somebody must foot the bill for that, Chairman. And the sooner we stop that, the better, because I think that across the whole political spectrum, people are becoming sick and tired of paying literally an arm and a leg for services, and they're not getting the proper service. Often I get the impression, Chairman, that local authorities are there as mere employment agencies, and it's not employment agencies. Their core function is to deliver services and so forth. I've often walked into some of these municipalities, and you see quite a number of officials standing there, and they're not really working, Chairman. So I think we should stress the importance of a culture of delivery, set particular goals, inputs and outputs. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Charles De Beer. I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee on Finance and Appropriation in the NCOP. I'm also then from the Northern Cape. Chair, I want to congratulate the Minister on behalf of our Select Committee on his presentation and the direction government is taking with regard to this sphere of government and service delivery. As we listen to all the speakers, there is consensus that you are doing the right thing. There was no objection. Secondly, the ANC, the government said through the president that we will do things differently. And that's what we are experiencing. Congratulations to that. But since, Honorable Minister, since 1995, there were 7 projects running with regard to super strategies, capacity building, etc., amounting to 3 billion rand. The point is, you see what is pumped in and what is the outcome, what is the result. There will be more. What is needed is more effective monitoring. And then I want to point 10 fingers back to myself as a member of this parliament, and the role of a member of parliament, and the role of a member of the provincial legislature, as well as the role of the council. It's our duty when we go on constituency period, on Mondays when we are supposed to be in constituencies, that we interact with our councillors, with our municipal managers, with our mayors, regarding oversight, what is happening in that municipality. Because we've got the knowledge. We get it here every week through committee work and through debates, through lectures and through conferences. So we've got the information.
not there to put in a cupboard or in your file and let's carry get dust on it. It's to share it with our people outside. So that's part of our responsibility, I want to reiterate. Visiting Mpumalanga 2 weeks ago, we could see this. That's a vacuum. And that's where we must also zoom in. Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, there's a technical vacuum in our municipality. Looking again to the Mpumalanga province, they've got lots of mines. Why can't there be a partnership between the mining industry and the municipalities in specific areas to share that skills and to make use of it? In other parts of the country, in private business, share the skills in that private business with the local municipality if you haven't got the specific skills and the specific people. And then, Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister, better coordination between your department, Honourable Minister, and National Treasury. We experienced that when we visited Mpumalanga and we interacted with 7 municipalities. And it came out very clear. Why wait until everything is nearly tumbling in? Get into it as soon as possible. Coming back to our role as members of Parliament, when you pick up issues, deal immediately with it with the MEC and the Special Minister and send your report to your political party, regional office or provincial office. So that's how it works. I'm 10 years in this job. That's how it works. To get things done at grassroots level. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister. We wish you well on this route you are taking.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Unfortunately, Mr. Smith has to leave, and he didn't even tell me what his question was. My name is Naren.
I know his question. I'll ask him.
Okay, fine. My name is Naren Singh. I'm on SCOPA, SCOAG, and many other committees. Chairperson, we did indicate to the minister at the APAC conference that this is a very ambitious program from the department, but one which we wholeheartedly support, because we realize that service delivery at grassroots level is most important for people out there. One of the things is, I think, while we concentrate on financial audits, which mainly is what the Auditor General does, we must also, Honourable Minister, look at performance audits. Because in many municipalities, the money is there, they get money for roads, you get the road half done, after 2 weeks you get potholes on the road, then after 3 weeks they put chewing gum on the potholes, which gets removed after 1 day. So I think we need to focus as well on performance of the type of delivery that's carried out in municipalities, in addition to the financial audit. The second point I wish to make very quickly is the whole issue of conditional grants. You get conditional grants from various national departments. When a national department doesn't know how to spend the money and they find that they're coming to the end of the financial year, they send it down to a municipality, spend it on A, B, C, and D. Now, the haste with which the money goes down and the haste in which these tenders are called for execution of those, for delivery of service, is something that needs to be looked at. There must be timeliest warning or indication of finances that are going to be transferred from national government to local government so that they can adhere to all tender processes, because they hide behind the delays in the time frames. And they get these tenders given to their friends. The third point is, and I associate myself with a colleague from SAMU, is the skills. In many instances, you find that councillors just don't ask questions. I don't know if there's a fear to ask questions, whether the mayor has got a nice 1 million rand car that the municipal manager said, no, you can have a 1 million rand car, you can have a party next week, you can have something else the following week, and they don't ask questions, and they should be asking questions. And then it's basic record keeping. The Auditor General has told us in SCOPA that much of their work goes around, and some colleague alluded to that, is documents not being available. So basic things like keeping documents by officials is not adhered to. The next point, Honourable Minister, is payment for audits.
a number of municipalities, and the chairman of SCOAG is here, are in arrears. They don't pay audit fees to the Office of the Auditor General. And yet that is something that they should be budgeting for. They use that money for salaries and for all other things, and that's something. The last point I want to make, Honourable Minister, is procurement. I mean, this was touched on. We moved procurement from political office bearers to officials. Now, officials run their own thing, and there are cartels of officials that run contracts for themselves with this wife, the other wife, the niece, the nephew, the grandfather. Everybody's got a company. And there are cartels that are operating even in metros. And the worst thing about this is that many of them are high-ranking political office bearers. And that's where the awkwardness comes in as well. Because they hold a position in a political party. They try and, if I may use the word, call the shots. And that's something that we need to look at. We need to strike the balance on procurement committees between political office bearers and administrators, and maybe even outside adjudicators when we're looking at some of these tenders. MPACs, Honourable Minister, we support fully. We just hope by December we can get them on the going. The last question is, do we need district municipalities? Thank you.
Okay, let's get gentlemen the back. Just to preliminary comment, that doesn't have to be an exhaustive response of every point.
Chairperson,
I think you are forgetting me.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to thank the Minister and the Deputy Minister. I have just a short comment about the program. This has been a wonderful program. But if we can implement it in full, South Africa will get a proper service delivery. The only problem that we have now, or the sickness that we have, is implementation of the services. Whatever we have in front of us is not properly implemented. I have two other things that really worry me, Honorable Minister. The mention of how to get rid of rats, and then on-job training. I would like to find out as to whether, how are we going to do it? Are we going to first get rid of the rats? Because if you do it at the same time, job training will be feeding the rats, and the rats don't have any effect. The other thing that I have is the rural municipalities. They're always mentioned, and nothing has been done with the rural municipalities, and we all know that every time rural municipalities are going down the drain, I'm making an appeal that in order to get us going, let's go to the rural people first. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, sir, you're the last one.
Dear Mr. Toya, Member of SCOPA, I would just like the Minister to say, if you were to look at this matter, there exists a misuse of so-called acting allowances. Even when a municipal manager or other official go on leave for one day, someone in the reporting line steps into his or her place and is paid for this action, an allowance fee, even if no decisions are taken or work done in that position for days or a week. Then the whole chain of acting allowances is earned all the way down the reporting line. This is a shameless self-enrichment and clearly outside the definition of acting allowances. Now, this may seem as a nitty-gritty little detail, but it speaks to the problem that we experience in self-enrichment of municipal managers and downwards. So, if the Minister would please, indicate to us if he's aware of that type of thing. Thank you.
As I'll give now to my co-chairperson to make some remarks, and then perhaps the Minister and his team will speak. I noticed that they are officials from Salgari. I have experienced
experienced yesterday that they were present and they refused to speak on the grounds that they did not have a mandate. I can see his shaking of his head. He also is telling me that he doesn't have a mandate to open his mouth. It's a pity, because it would have been useful to have some view of this. You know, they say, an African proverb, they say, until the lions have their own historian, the history of the hunt will glorify the hunter. The people about whom we are talking about are not, in other words, here. It's a bit of a gap that is unfortunate. But I hope, as part of the process of doing this, as the minister indicated earlier, they will be part of the process and so on. But this has been a useful contribution. Let's hear Honorable Sokoni.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Mr. Minister, I think that it's clear that everyone is excited about this program. I mean, from the comments that you hear around, clearly there are people who are supportive of this program. However, I think that there are certain clarities, that's a small clarity that I would like to comment on, what I would like to make, is that I see somewhere the report says the scope of committee should receive quarterly reports. I know that last week we're coming from the scope of conference, so scope is still very dominant in our minds. But I think that there are other committees. My own view is that SCOPA has a certain role, very clear role, and there are other committees which have got also their own role in terms of doing that function of keeping abreast with the issue. Now, I'm not sure if, I don't think that we're suggesting that, no, we should relegate now those committees and give everything to SCOPA. I think SCOPA should come at the right time, but allow the relevant committees to play their own role. I mean, even in terms of legislation is very clear in terms of who is supposed to do what, the federal committee, the for the money bill, very clear in terms of that. Maybe something that we just need to tidy up a bit. I have had the comments around the Municipal Finance Management Act that it is restrictive. I think that as members of Parliament, we all have been to municipalities. I didn't really pick up the concern that you're raising when one does oversight with municipalities. And the NSOP, for instance, is from the has had a visit in Mpumalanga now. I thought that maybe one can say the act is too elaborative. Maybe yes, or we should at one stage or another give ourselves the opportunity to debate some of these things and look at specific sections where we think that perhaps they might be too, what you call, restrictive. I don't think so. But, Chairperson, just the last thing that I was really hoping to hear from members here, it's our own role as members of Parliament. What is it that we say we want to, we're going to do in order to enhance this process? We worried about other people not doing this, but it's a good thing because all that I hear, Chair, is what is has already been identified in this document, the issue of lack of qualification. I mean, the people who are employed were not qualified. We're all emphasizing on we're not coming with new issues, members, but what I was expecting, and maybe members should reach us from here to be able to say, as members of Parliament, how are we ourselves
going to enhance this program so that it can succeed. I think that the program is very clear in terms of your provincial coordinator. I see a lot of role for members of parliament in doing oversight in many areas. Well, I have not heard yet any pronouncement from you, but I think that members will have time and really look at the whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The first thing, we want to thank members for engaging so robustly and also for raising issues. It shows that this matter is a matter of interest to us. And I think we must actually make it more to a matter of interest, because local government affects everyone, wherever you are. And I think up until all of us, we are the same wavelength, we are singing from the same hymn book, we'll always miss each other. There'll always be discord in the process. Having said that, I want to take it from where Member Sokone has left it. The issue of the members of parliament can't be overemphasized. One of the things in South Africa that has made government to be where it is, having challenges, is because politicians have outsourced their oversight power to officials. That's the reality of the matter. You find that wherever you do things, you must hear an official must advise you all the time, as if you don't have brains to think. Up until politicians take responsibility to know that officials are there as employees to support politicians, we'll continue in this problem. I mean, it's parties that have a manifesto that they use to go and say, voters, vote for me. They say, so that then I'll be able to do A, B, C, and D. You employ these officials to come and support you to execute your mandate. But at the end of the day, you find that now the tail is wagging the dog. Now, I'm saying the issue of oversight for the politicians is a matter that must emphasize. Let's reclaim our space. Let's take our power back from officials. That's the only way to do it. Now, if you say that, let's look at the issue that has been raised by members of government. You stay in a locality. In South Africa, we have a wall-to-wall municipality. It means every square inch or square kilometer of our land is covered by a municipality. Have you checked whether your municipality is functioning well or not? If you've done, why can't you raise up issues with us so you can deal with it? Why don't you show yourself that you are a member of parliament? You want things to be done correctly, and be done correctly. Because these people give you electricity, they give you water, they are able to collect waste. When you come here, you are supposed to emphasize that people must account on matters. Now, one of the major weaknesses that we have, which I'll emphasize up until all of us who are at the same wavelength and sing from the same hymn book, is an issue of rising above petty politics. I'll illustrate what I'm saying. Last week, let me start there. Sometime in Parliament, a member of Parliament raised an issue around cutting of water in the Western Cape, in the Cape Town municipality, Metro municipality. Subsequent to that, I go to SABC View from the House, you know, the program of Parliament. People there raise the same issue. I say I'll go there. Subsequent to that, people invite me to go there. I go there unannounced visit. I go to a ward that is under the ANC, ward under the DA, Mrs. Plain, this one in Kailisha, and other the ward that is under the ANC, the third one, in Luande. You know, when you go towards, right. I find there that water in Mitchell's Plain is in cut. In fact, it is a problem the way even we build houses that were insensitive to different cultures. You have a situation where there's a toilet,
this toilet, you have a sink in the kitchen. For you, when you come from the toilet, you must go to the kitchen to wash your hands. You have a situation where Muslims cannot be able to practice their religion the way this thing is designed. Problematic. And you are providing the service more in the Muslim community. You can see that the officials that are providing this thing are insensitive or they don't live in South Africa. Yes. You have a situation where water has been cut, which is illegal, which is unconstitutional, even to people who are pensioners. Others are disabled who are living on a grant. Now, these things are provided, we see them. You go to Khayelitsha. In Khayelitsha, there's a situation where out of 5,000 people, there are no toilets, not a single toilet. The center of the metro, yeah, not a single toilet. You have only 4 taps for water for 5,000 people. When these people go and relieve themselves, they must go and cross the highway and relieve themselves at the center of the metro. Now, you go to Lwandle, you have a situation where houses are built closer to the grave. Water, when it is raining, goes to the houses. And the houses are built in a place that is so wet that the carpet, everything is full of water. When you get it very cold and so on, and it makes people sick. Now, where are the members of parliament when this thing happens? Where are the members of parliament? Now, when I come out of there, the leader of the DA, the premier of the Western Cape, says this is an ANC program. People will cry. I've seen this thing with my own eyes. There are documentary proofs on this thing. We can't politicize government. If the DA has erred, it must be bold enough and say we've made a mistake here. And correct it. If you listen in this meeting, the ANC says, we've gone to the Mpumalanga, there are serious problems. There is a crisis there. ANC. Now, I still want to hear DA say, we have weaknesses, even ourselves, we are human beings, we've deployed human beings there, there are challenges. Not this thing of pretending that the South Africans don't know what is happening. They do. They live in this area. We must be bold enough to rise above petty politics. So we can correct this kind. To me, that's very important. Now, I'm saying, I will continue to go wherever I'm called by the people of South Africa. But if all of us, wherever we stay, when we are here, we use our power as public representatives, South Africa will be a better country. Now, I'm saying, to me, that's the premise within which I must start my talk. I want all of you as members of parliament to rise above petty party politics and deal with the issues of governance in this country so this country can improve. Having said that, the issues, others will be responded by my colleagues. I have a very big team here, including the DM. The issue of the CFOs who don't have capacity or untrainable. The first thing that we are going to look, can we train them? If they are untrainable, they must go. Simple. No manga business to look names into the complicated here. They must make simple as they are. You must go. Because we don't belong there in the first place. That's the first thing that must be done. And we are doing an audit. We are going to do an audit. It has been done on the skills and so on by local government leaders. We want to complement that, strengthen it, so that we are able to say what is the model of a treasury in a municipality? How should it be working with the county general and treasurer? What capacity must it have? And be able to, what skills are required to be there so that we can deal with that? The other issue is an issue of non-performance. To me, I must tell you now, I still can't understand Why do you get a disclaimer and have this opinion for 2 years and you are left? Sometimes you are given a bonus. You are saying you are doing so well by this thing. A person is supposed to face the consequences, disciplinary action out of the system. That's what must happen. I think you are very clear that that's why we are saying this thing must be part of the performance management. So that we are able to use it as an instrument to deal with you. Labor law, Baba, Trapos, Kakete, including the Basic Condition of Employment Act and all other systems acts and all other acts, must not prevent us to act. We must act without fear, without favor, without prejudice, in the interest of our people. Now, that's what we must be doing. Now we'll deal with those in the DA or in the ANC or in the under the ISP and so on. Mr. Simpson. All of us, let's be one on this. What we want to do, we want to look at the law which will present yourself. That says the appointment of Section 57 manager must enjoy the concurrence of the MEC and the minister, including the suspension and dismissal. The reason is being that you find that if a municipal manager refuses to give a tender to a particular country, you go to the meeting, you pass a vote of no confidence, you suspend the municipal manager, or a Section 57. Now, we wanted to make it very difficult for people to be dismissed, but you can't take it at the tail end. You must look at the beginning, at the appointment. So people who are appointed are skilled. But not only that, people who are appointed as Section 57 managers, they must join professional bodies. At least if you're in the finance area, you must join INFO. Not even SAICA, at least INFO. Part of INFO. Right? And if you are a manager that is general, human resources, at least join the Institute for Local Government Managers, IGM, and so on and so on. The reason for that is that if you are doing wrong things, ethically, that professional body must discipline you. Because you are embarrassing it, you are putting it in disrepute. That's what must happen. Now we're saying that must happen. That's what we are thinking. So we are able to do things correctly. Therefore, this thing of allowing power everywhere and so on, in a way that undermines the integrity of South Africa, we think that must interfere with. And we must be able to deal with it. The issue of the legislation and the compliance, I want to agree with Honorable Doman that the laws are good. I can tell you now, if we can implement them, 50% of our problems are gone. The question is, where are the members of parliament who pass the laws? Why are they not monitoring and calling departments to check the interpretation of these laws that you pass? Why are you quiet? Now, in the department, we are building capacity of lawyers. We want to check with fine comb the implementation of laws. And we are going to develop a capacity where we come with the standard bylaws at a national level. That must be tailor-made to municipalities. So I think that we have uniform approaches on certain matters that we believe are common and are of national interest. Therefore, we want to look and show that the thing of law, legislation, and compliance is implemented. However, having said that, we had a meeting with the President, with Madam Helen Zille, at her request. In that meeting, we agreed that I must convene the reviews of laws in South Africa, which we're doing in any way. I'll be convening with the Premier, with the Minister of Finance, the Minister and the President's planning and monitoring the evaluation, to look at what are the laws that are establishing blocks that are inhibiting service delivery. The Minister really raised an issue because he has done some studies that says when you are to enter into partnership through the Municipal Finance Management Act, it takes you 28 months. 28 months. When you have to build a house, it takes you 5 years for you to put a brick and mortar on the ground because of the impact assessment and everything that you have to do and so on. Now, we can't allow that to continue. This is the main fact. We have to change that. Now, I'm saying let's not have any holy cow or any law. Let's be open-minded. Let's look at these things that must be reviewed so that we are able to ensure that the end of the sphere is more sharper when we have to deal with things of service delivery. The issue of the municipal public account, we are going to send what is called a government notice. A government notice is like a regulation, the law, sent by the minister, that is a special, but it has motives to fight. Say that by 15th of this thing, December, municipal public account was in place, and we look at what are the regulations, what are the processes that must be followed in that. And we are going to monitor the implementation. We require you as parliamentarians to train municipalities' public account leaders in terms of this, so that they can be able to benefit from experience and knowledge going forward. The mayoral fund, in terms of my understanding, those things were done away with. Anybody who tries to come with a secret slash fund there on the side, that is illegal. Clear. If you do it, you are doing an illegal activity. And therefore, you must face the consequences. Because the problem must be South Africa. Every action must have consequences. Unless we do that, people will continue doing wrong things and hope that nothing will happen. They will remain untouchable in the process. The issue of resourcing the project. To us, yes, at the same time, I have Dr. Siswana. Dr. Siswana is the head of Operation Clean Audit 2014. In the event it doesn't succeed, we must also face the music. Yes? That's how it should be. What should I give him if he doesn't deliver? But what we have found in government, we want to change the way government works, particularly our department. The way of changing it, we want to run everything that we run in a project management style. You know, like 2010, when you run 2010, you run the project. This thing of people, you know, having comfort zones where they do things. I have different project teams that are leading different projects. And I don't want this thing of labor affairs in the department. It must change. And the way we do must coordinate with different areas in doing work. Therefore, in that respect, I'm saying he works with provinces, he works with municipalities vertically, horizontally, he works with accountant general, auditor general, and so on. We take the point from Madame Dlamini that we must rope in statistician general to part of the team so that statistics can come in. That's a good point. We'll implement it. Because even the issue of statistics in South Africa, they are challengeable even when you look at free basic services. Now we'll be taking that. Therefore, it means we are adding the general. Accountant general, auditor general, now we're adding statistician general. There's a point that is raised that says, let's meet twice a year with yourself. That's raised it firmly. Our view is that you must make a to account to you all the time. Including amongst that, we want to have this summit where we are able to assess at the national level. You must give a report to yourself. What is an outcome? So you monitor these things on a continuous basis. It's not an event at the tail end of 2014. And you find that this thing is flawed. You are supposed to see things at the beginning. The issue of reduction, Baba, of section 139 is a matter of interest that we want to look at. That the 139 definitely is about mismanagement of finances, it's about all those things that you have talked about that you must deal with. And at the core of them is lack of capacity and skill in terms of doing the work. And that is applicable across. That's why I'm calling upon even the DA, not to throw stones when they live in a glass house. To me, I think if the ANC municipal is doing wrong, we must say so. If the DA municipal is doing wrong, we must say so. If the IFP municipal is doing wrong, we must say so. Without really this thing of politicizing this thing, because if we do so, we have to take politics in this matter. We'll never transform South Africa. 2011, you hammer us, you deal with us when we campaign for elections. But after elections, everybody must rally behind a leader who has been elected in a particular municipality. If you're an opposition, you become a responsible, patriotic opposition. That is dealing with matters with vigor, but at the same time knowing that you have a responsibility of leading the country yourself, even if you are not at the head. Therefore, the issue of Section 139 is one that we want to look at, want to deal with, and I'm very happy that even yourself, people have gone on the ground, the NCOP people, you have seen what you've been talking about, that local government matters is not wrong. When we're raising these things, people have seen that we're mad. We must hide these things, put them under the carpet. I'll never do that. As long as I'm still in this responsibility of being a minister, I will put things out there to hang and dry. The reason is to mobilize people to come and correct. Because if you put them under the carpet, they are going to rot. They are going to rot. And they are going to be mad. That's my proof. Whether they are done by the ANC or by GA, it's not the issue. The issue is about the people that we are representing here, that their interests must be taken care of. And to me, I think Parliament must be robust. It must never really be booty-booty to us as an executive. It doesn't help. In fact, you are supposed to be charged as accomplices if you do so. Because you allow these things to happen, you see them, you don't see them. Now, the issue of the cadet deployment. Cadet deployment, what is, happens to, by everyone. You know, I can tell you a guy in Solena who has been dismissed in the precinct. That guy has been a problem. He's an MM. That guy has a very bad track record. He's employed by the GA and the IT for the inner coalition there. Now, let's not throw stones when we live in a glass house. I can quote many examples that are not good, right? I can quote an example of cadet deployment when you remove Shanaz Majid, one of the best administrators in South Africa, a disabled woman for that matter, and put a man. Because he was not a DA-appointed woman, was appointed by the ANC when he took over. I can go on and on. Because even if you look at the DA in the province, has employed more men. If you look in the municipality, it has employed more men, removing women, removing Africans. Now, let's not throw stones when we live in a glass house. That's how we must approach these matters. Let's approach matters of government.